out because, see, I've been hidden in the shadows a long time because I was embarrassed by certain things that happened to me in my life. You know, because, see, I used to minister the gospel. And I'm coming out. I'm tired of it. Tired of Satan trying to beat me down to get the gospel out. Because, see, it's everywhere you go. Let me tell you something. It's everywhere you go. Walmart, the convenience store, to the grocery store, to your job, whatever it is, there's people going to hell. Right. It's already there. It's already appointed for them to go. Unless they accept Jesus. And you've got to walk in the power and the authority of Jesus and the Holy Ghost and tell them. I don't care. You got to tell them.
Yeah.
I don't care where you're at. In the last year or so, I've been doing that to everybody. I don't care where it's at. Everybody. You can ask my wife. She walks off sometimes. Because they're going to hell.
I need that.
And this right here, this Miss Mary, man, she really pointed out some really awesome stuff to me about this prayer that Paul was praying right here. And I'm doing this right here. I don't care what anybody thinks or says. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Okay? Because this is Jesus.
As you please God.
The words I speak, I'm going to speak what God speaks, not mine. I'm not going to have crazy words that I'm going to have to give an account for.
Yeah.
Okay? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, me, a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, of Jesus, man. To look at that. The Father's giving us that. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. We got His strength and might right there. Which He brought about in Christ, which He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And every name that is named not only in this age, which Billy Graham, I don't know if you've ever heard what she said, but she said before Kenneth Hagin died, a week before he died, he said, told her, she will see the new age literally come into pass. That's what he said. But also in the one to come, the age to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who is all in all. We can learn all this stuff every single week. We can learn it every single day. But if we don't take it out there to them, what good is it? It's like building, having a factory building something, and you got the manual right there and stuff, and you keep reading the manual, knowing what the manual says, but you never build nothing.
That's right. That's a good example.
Brother Neil Hoses told me that one time. You got to take it out there. That's why we're learning this. It ain't just for gratification of ourselves, which is awesome now.
Yeah, it is.
I love going on a journey in the Word, but it's for them out there too.
Right.
Praise God. This is the Father's house. This is not the hog pen. There is glory in the house. Peace in the house. Joy in the house. Salvation in the house. Healing in the house. Prosperity in the house. Everything you need is in the house. Everything you want is in the house. If it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day. Be your goodness to us. We thank you, God, for this assembly here this morning, gathered here to hear the Word of God. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your Word this morning. Give us a spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding. The Word of faith and authority to believer that we might be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, glory to God. We're in the book of Acts. I guess we're in the book of Acts this morning. Mary's away. She's the one that usually keeps us on track.
Yep.
Never know for sure where we might land sometimes. But anyhow... In the book of Acts, I think I was on. I finished. I think last week in chapter 9. I think we were talking about where Paul had
verse 7.
9 and 7. I think I'd already gotten down through where...
I got a mark up there.
Yeah. No, we were talking about where he was, in verse 19, when he had received meat and was strengthened, then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he's the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying wait was known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. But when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecian Jews, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus.
Can I tell you, Pastor, say something right quick?
All right.
Right here. You know, he's up here. You know, it says, but Saul, 22, but Saul kept increasing in strength. Yeah. The Lord, I believe, man, when you're preaching the gospel out there, telling people about Jesus, I believe, man, that God will just keep giving you strength and increasing it, especially in boldness, because, buddy, he was out there, man, preaching to all of them. That's a powerful statement right there. He increased in strength.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Now we're going to talk about something that I think for the next for the next chapter and a half, I think is something that is, I don't know how exactly to say this, but it doesn't illustrate the sovereignty of God, okay? This illustrates something that men were doing, a sowing and reaping, in other words. If God is completely sovereign, sowing and reaping doesn't do you a lick of good, because God's just going to do what he's going to do, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. It's completely sovereign. If God is completely sovereign, you're sowing and reaping, it's a waste of time. They ain't going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. You ain't going to be able to change God, no way. If God is completely sovereign. So God doesn't act sovereignly toward his people, like except in certain cases, like calling and in the calling and election, where you're called. He calls who he will. There ain't nothing you can do about that. Now you know that. There's not a thing you can do about that. We've talked about that before. If you're called, you ain't never going to be uncalled.
Yeah.
If you're not called, you ain't never going to be called. I mean, if God is not going to call you, he's just not going to call you. I've known of people who wanted to be called in the worst kind of way, and they were trying to get God to call them in the worst kind of way, and he wouldn't do it.
Yep.
He's not going to do it. If he's going to call you, he's going to call you. There's not a thing you can do about it. All you're sowing and reaping in the world is not going to do you a lick of good when it comes to the calling and election of God. If he calls you, you're called. There's nothing you can do about it. Not one thing you can do about it. So there's your sovereignty right there. There's your sovereignty.
Yeah.
But that's one of the few places where God really acts sovereignly toward his people. We're going to see. we're going to see that what happens here in these next couple of chapters does not depend on the sovereignty of God. It depends on what people were doing. They were sowing and reaping, and they sowed and then they reaped. Okay? God moved in response to their sowing and their reaping. That their sowing moved God, okay? Their sowing and what they were doing moved God, and things changed in their lives.
Well, why pray if God does everything?
That is really true. Now, I mean, you know, I mean, that's true. If God really is sovereign, and what we, you know, we don't realize, I think, a lot of times when we talk about God being sovereign, but a sovereign, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. He's going to do what he's going to do, and you know, that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
You can't change. There's no recourse.
You can't change his mind.
You can't change his mind. There's nothing you can do about it. A sovereign is, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. So, but that's not the way God operates with his people.
Well, that would almost be like, you know, he would consider us an ant if he was a sovereign.
That is true, and we wouldn't have free will. You don't have free will. If God is really sovereign towards you, you don't have free will. That's and in the case of your calling and election, you don't have free will about that. You're called. Now you can run from it, and you can not do it if you want to, but you're never going to be uncalled. And when you face God and when you stand before the Lord, he's going to require of you what you did with regard to your calling, and there's no way you can get out of it.
Exactly right.
I mean, that's all there is to it. So, all right, so there are some places where God acts really, really acts sovereignly, and that's one of them.
Don't you think it's just a misunderstanding of the word sovereign?
Well, I think it probably is. I think it probably we misunderstand what that word means.
Right.
I do think you're right, Sister Mary. We don't really understand what we're saying when we say sovereign, sovereign. We don't really understand.
Like, if you sin, well, God's sovereign.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Ridiculous.
We don't really understand it. The sovereign can do no wrong. In other words, the king can do no wrong. In other words, whatever the king does, that's the law. So it's legal. If the king wants to put you to death for no reason in the world, that's legal, perfectly legal, because he's sovereign. That's what sovereign means. You know, that's whatever the king says is the law. That's why the king can do no wrong. That's the definition of the word sovereign.
But our sovereign God in this world chose to tell us what he wanted and didn't want in the word. So God's sovereignty is not based on what we think in our mind. It's what he has said here. And he has sovereignly given us.
Well, that's true. Now that is his word. Yeah, that's right. Now his word, we can't change his word.
And he chose to create us. He chose to give us
that's true.
A free will.
That is correct.
So he is sovereign in that respect because he
didn't choose
one day take over this world.
We did not choose to be created.
But you have
that's
to go
true.
By his word, and people that they don't go by his word.
And we were made in his likeness too.
That's true. We did not. He chose us. We did not choose him. Okay, that's true.
So
but now we're going to see a few cases here in the next couple of chapters. What I'm talking about. That is not just, and you can define this as grace if you want to, but the way I understand the way grace is being preached in some cases nowadays, grace is preached like sovereignty, that you know grace is you're just under grace and this grace message. Leaves no room, the radical grace message leaves no room for sowing and reaping. It doesn't.
Wow.
It doesn't leave any room for sowing and reaping.
Mm.
It doesn't do you any good if you read some of these grace teachers.
Because it doesn't matter what you do.
That's right. It doesn't matter if you do good or if you do bad.
Right.
You're under grace.
Right.
And it don't depend on you at all.
So then the atheist can go to heaven too.
Well, assuming that they accepted Jesus as their Savior, once they accept Jesus as their Savior, see, then there's nothing they can do. Then it's all locked in. I don't know. I don't understand all this grace business, but I know what they're teaching about it. It doesn't make sense to me, but they're teaching this stuff now. All right, so let's go to verse 32. And I'll show you what I mean. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now it gets good. Now there was, not that this ain't been good, but I mean, it's going to get real good now. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas.
This, why that was put in there?
Huh?
Well, I wonder why they put that interpretation in there.
Well, I'm not sure.
I've often wondered that.
That's a good question. I'm not sure why that is in there, why it says which is by interpretation. I don't know why we need to know that for sure. But anyway, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. All right. She was full of good works and alms deeds. This woman was a worker. She was full of good works and she was doing alms, which is kindness to poor folks, okay, and to the sick. Alms are kindness and acts of kindness.
Yeah.
That's what they are, okay. And so she was doing this, and she was full of good works and alms. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him unto the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. All right, now this is interesting. My take on this is Dorcas came back from the dead because of her good works and alms deeds which she did. This was not a sovereign move of God. Dorcas came back from the dead. Dorcas was raised from the dead because of her good works. Why? Because they wouldn't have sent for Peter in the first place. She was dead. And if she, you know, and the reason they sent for Peter was because she was such a presence in their lives, they couldn't let her go. She was so, because of the works that she had done, they just could not accept the fact that she was dead. So they sent for Peter, knowing that Peter could raise people from the dead, because obviously, undoubtedly he had, or they believed that he could. So they sent for Peter, and said, you know, we can't live with this result, Peter. You know, this has been this woman. We can't let this woman go. This woman is just too good to let go. So Peter, we got to have some relief. So Peter comes down there, and you know, this is the reason that they went to get Peter in the first place. Otherwise, she'd have stayed dead. If they hadn't gone to get Peter, she'd have stayed dead. Why did they go get Peter? Because they couldn't let her go. Why? Because she was full of good works. So, this was sowing and reaping. She sowed alms, and she reaped life.
Yep.
The Lord raised her up because of her good works.
Yep.
That's what it boils down to. She reaped what she sowed. This was not, you know, I mean, you know, this wasn't just something that just happened. There was a cause and effect here.
Well, let me ask you this then. If that is the case, Okay, what you're saying is that she was raised from the dead because of her good works.
That's right.
Okay, which that's logical right there. What about some people that, you know, like little kids and everything that's been raised from the dead all over the world and stuff that had no sowing or reaping? The parents weren't even saved. They got saved
okay.
because of that.
That's a whole different
reason. All right.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen that way, but I'm saying that sowing and reaping will, that if you sow, you can reap.
That's an awesome statement.
That's right. That is absolutely right. Sowing and reaping brings a harvest.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so don't ever, ever, ever count out the sowing and the reaping. That is a biblical concept that you cannot get away from.
Amen.
Is everything in the kingdom operates on the basis of sowing and reaping.
Yes, it does.
Just because, you know, things, you know.
Limit it to one.
That's right. That is absolutely right. That's right.
She was sowing alms.
She was sowing all. She was.
Got life.
That's right. She reaped life. She was raised from the dead because of the works that she did.
She was.
Yeah. This is it. Now we're going to see it. We're going to see another example right away quick. We got two, you know, in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word is established. We're fixing to see another excellent example here. But sowing and reaping is powerful,
yes,
people.
It is.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It is.
Yeah.
So don't let folks ever talk you out of the idea that sowing and reaping is not a good. I mean, it's not necessary. It is necessary.
Look what else she reaped, and this is King James New Version. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. Sure. Sure. Of course. Yeah.
So her ministry increased.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you think that after she was raised from the dead, she just quit working and just quit giving alms and quit sowing things and stuff? You know, you think she just sat down and on the couch and said, "Well, you know, I'm here. I'm just going to sit right here now till I die again"? No, she went back to work. I believe the woman went back to work. Glory to God.
All that day.
Continued sowing and reaping. Continued to sow. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, sowing and reaping. You ain't never going to get away from sowing and reaping. It's big. It's huge.
Yes.
It's really good.
Amen.
Okay.
You can sow and reap on every word that you even say.
Absolutely right.
Every word.
Absolutely right. Uh-huh. Absolutely right. The kingdom of God operates on the principle of sowing and reaping.
Mm-hmm.
Sowing and reaping. As a man sows, so shall he reap. Absolutely right. That is absolutely right. That's your manward side.
Yeah.
It's not, and this is not sovereign now. This is a manward side.
Uh-huh.
See, this is your part to do. This is your part. You got a part to play.
Yeah.
If you want to reap something, you better sow something. You better plant something. If you want to reap, if you want to harvest, you better put some seed in the ground.
That's right.
Amen. Glory to God. All right. Well, I'll leave off right there, and we'll come back to that. Okay.
That's good stuff.
All right. We ended at verse 39. We'll start there again. Okay. Praise the Lord. You can see law on that one for a week.